Good morning, July 6th, Monday, the Monday after the 4th of July holiday. I hope everyone had a great weekend. Hope you didn't have to apologize to anybody. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast on the Rehoboth Social Podcast Network. Hope everyone's doing well. What a strange holiday, right? Strange 4th of July. I don't know where you live, but where I live, 4th of July is a big deal here. And it just wasn't. You know, they canceled all the fireworks. I live at the beach, so everyone, you know, has to wear masks. They're really trying to discourage people, I think, from coming here. I mean, this is that place that it's like 4th of July is just crazy. Traffic's backed up, tons of people, restaurants are booming, everything's going crazy. And this year, just it's not happening, you know. I'm lucky enough that I'm in a business that I'm slightly not affected, but being affected, it's weird. I'm in the hair business, and you know, my grandfather always used to say, you know, there's two things that people always need, and funerals and haircuts. I was like, oh, that makes sense. And it's kind of turning out to be true. I mean, we're coming through it. We're kind of getting through on the other side. And then all of a sudden this resurgence and, you know, the numbers start going back up and they're closing things down. And it's just really been tough. Love me some Social D. Hope everyone loves Social Distortion. What a great band. So I wanted to, you know, one of the tough things about this podcast, first of all, I can't remember everything I talk about. It's really just me sharing what's going on a daily basis. And what's going on a daily basis for today is that I'm struggling because I want to talk about how some of the, you know, 12-step program works in my life today. And one of the big ones today for me is really the promises. And the promises are interesting. Like, here's one. Self-seeking will slip away. So that means that I am self-seeking now. I've always kind of thought that, like, these promises were nice ways of suggesting things to work on. Like, self-seeking will slip away. So until then, I'm self-seeking. But the one that I wanted to talk about today was fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. Fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. What does that even freaking mean? Fear of people? Am I afraid of people? I remember back when I was in my addiction. I was working on a golf course, and my day would usually start off me coming to drunk, still drunk, but I did it so much that I was used to it. It was just how it was in the mornings. I just was like, just wake up, still drunk, take a shower, go to work, drive to work full of regret, looking for, you know, I probably stop and get some coffee or something, but just you know, oh my God, I did it again. I did it again. And come to work, and then I would be around people. And I didn't really think that I had a fear of people, but it was always kind of like this weird, you know, good morning, what's up, you know, who's going to get the easy job? How come I got the hard job? Why'd that guy not get this job? It was always this being critical of other people, this fear of people. I mean, I wasn't afraid. I wasn't in the corner cowering. Oh, my God, people. But, you know, it would come out in different ways, being judgmental, you know, probably talking about other people to other people. Look at what he's doing. Or, oh, he's got the cake job again. You know, just this weird thing. And then I would end up, you know, we used to cut greens in the morning. So I'd have to take a golf cart with a little trailer and a mower and go cut greens. And, you know, and always like with these people constantly, you know, like my boss would ride by on a golf cart, or, you know, I remember Johnson, he cut fairways, and I would just constantly be critical of Johnson. Look at Johnson just sitting on a mower doing shit, you know, just always analyzing. And then I would see other people and think, oh, and then usually that would be our morning job. And then in the afternoon we'd get some, you know, either a shit job or a chill job. Either you raking bunkers or cutting edges, which was awful, or you got to ride on like a machine and ride mower on a mower all day, which was easy. And then, but you'd be on this machine and you'd see like a group of people ride by, some coworkers ride by, and then they may look at you and automatically think, what are they saying about me? You know, it was always just like an uneasiness. A fear of people. And it was what a fucked up existence. Just what a nightmare. I wonder what they're saying about me. I just felt I had so little confidence. I felt I didn't think of myself as being a very good person. Just a stain, really. Just taking up space. You know, ruining my parents' lives, working in the bottom of the barrel kind of job. Not that there's anything wrong with working on a golf course, but that was the only place that would take me. And just the lack of freedom. You know, there's people say, I'm free. Look at me, I'm free. But are you? Was I? No. I lived in this self-centered fear prison. You know, if I'm constantly judging people or thinking people are judging me, there's no freedom of peace. You know, I'm not at peace of mind. I'm just constantly in turmoil. And that promise, you know, fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. Ooh. You know, I've been working this program a long time, and I can pretty much say that all the promises have come true in my life. Except for this one. And it's not even the first half, it's the second half, the financial insecurity. You know, I'm so scared of money. I'm so scared of success that I'll lose it. You know, it took me years to want to commit to anything because I'm like, well, shit, at any moment I could fuck up and lose this like I usually do in the past. I mean, I've been sober a long time, and I still worry about that. I'm finally starting to feel like I'm not going to throw a grenade on my life at any moment. Sort of. You know? I still get a little freaked out. You know, I have a friend, my friend Carlos. You know, Carlos, he's in the business game. You know, he creates a business, he puts a lot of revenue into the business, he makes revenue, turns that back into the business, because, you know, he said, you either want to make a business to sell one day, or you want to make a business to work at for the rest of your life. But a guy like me, who has so much financial insecurity, I wanted to make a business that I have a job that I work at. So, like, when I take when I make money, you know, I remember Matt was like, you know, when he helped me open this salon, he says, all right, go down the highway right now and find the closest billboard next to your salon and rent it for the year. I'm like, okay. And I go and find one. It's relatively close. I make a phone call. The guy's like, yep, it's $1,100 a month. I'm like, what? I'm not paying $1,100 a month. That's money out of my pocket. Because I was so afraid. You know, if I invest into a billboard and all of a sudden my life goes to hell in a handbasket overnight, I need that money to save my ass. I was too scared. I'm financially petrified. It would take years before I would start to feel a little bit better that my life wasn't going to go down the shitter overnight. But it's still a big fear of mine. And I don't know. I'm not sure that... I've always kind of compared money to success. Like, oh, I'm getting paid. I have a job and I'm making money. So now I'm considered a decent person. I remember as a kid, my mom always used to say, get a job so you can make big bucks. And it was just kind of always pushed into my mind, I think, because my mom had grown up so poor that she thought that she didn't want me to go through what she went through. So she always thought, you know, make big bucks. So I always thought, like, unless I'm making big bucks, I'm not a good person. And when I started making some money, I was afraid to lose it because I didn't want to not be a good person. Like, all the work I had done at being a good person wasn't good enough unless I had a number that I could say, oh, yeah, well, I make, you know, oh, I'm making $30,000 a year. I'm a good person, finally. I'm making $40,000 a year. I'm finally getting to be a better person. Like, the amount of money I made represented the quality of person that I was. And, you know, maybe it's just being young, but now at 52, I still don't make a lot of money, but I know I'm a good person. And, you know, it feels good. I'm still freaked out about it. Luckily, I have a wife that, you know, kind of keeps me grounded when it comes to that. It's, you know, it's nice to have, you know, a husband and wife teaming up as far as being financially secure. You know, but I still worry. I still worry. When's the grenade going to fall? When's the next bomb going to drop? And it's tough. But slowly but surely, you start to get better. And I know as long as I don't drink, it should be fine. There it is. Far side of nowhere. Social distortion. I've done this podcast like four times this morning. I've started, stopped. So I don't even remember what I've talked about in the other ones, but I do love that band. Great band. So that's, you know, that's kind of what I've been thinking about, is that financial insecurity. Even as sober as I've been, and as long as it's been since I've had a drink, that still gets me. I don't even know what financial freedom from financial insecurity would even look like. I mean, maybe I have it. You know, I guess you always have to be aware and be present in your financial situation. I guess you have to respect it, especially when you have like a family and so many people rely on it. And I try to do that. But if you ask anybody, they'll tell you I'm frugal or I'm tight, cheap. And it's not that. I'm just still scared of money. And but, you know, my friend Matt always used to say, as long as you're not smoking crack and paying for hookers, dude, it's going to be fine. And sometimes I just need to remind myself of that because I'm not doing those things. As long as I'm not behaving or carrying on, and I'm taking an honest look at it, and I'm honestly behaving in a good way, it should be fine. It should be. Unless something like a COVID-19. You know, I was looking at this, I was watching this podcast, and this lady was talking about how, you know, she'd opened a restaurant. This is out in California. She'd opened a restaurant and, you know, really focused on quality and a great chef and really providing an amazing experience for diners or guests. And became popular, and she took that revenue and she invested it into another restaurant, and then took that money and invested into buying the building. I mean, she did everything that you're supposed to do, you know? I mean, I'm not a restaurateur, but, you know, she would buy the building. Now she controlled that, and it was going fine. And then 2020 was supposed to be the year that she was going to buy five restaurants in 2020. Finally make the plunge and started these restaurants. And she had just trained 100-something people for the opening night of this new restaurant, Felix, in L.A. And it's supposed to be amazing. They trained them all. They were open one night, and then the state shut them down. I mean, she's done everything correctly, and then the state comes and now is controlling her destiny, right? And she had just written a check, all of the money that she had towards to paying off one of these restaurants she was built. I mean, she building. So she is like completely stretched. And finally, you know, LA or California started opening these restaurants again. And they were able to open another one night, and then they came in and shut them back down again. I mean, I would be in the freaking corner, curled up in the fetal position, having a coronary. I mean, that's out of your control. And I just, you know, I don't know. I mean, one of the nice things about the salon that I own is we only have just a few people that work in it. I've always, you know, I worked in a big salon. I've worked in that big place, which is fine. But, you know, that is part of the risk. Part of the reason I never opened a big salon is because I would hear these stories of these people that would own these big salons, and they'd have, you know, 7, 8, 10, 15 people work for them. And then, you know, anytime that's happening, people, and I've been on both sides of it, people start to feel discouraged, you know, if one person's getting business and the other one's not, and it has a whole underlying thing going on. And then next thing you know, one starts talking to another, and they're disgruntled, and look at him, and how come this is going on? And then they get a group of five or six of them, and then they all leave. And then you're sitting there holding this lifestyle, business style, you know, this, I always, you know, you see people, you know, they live a life, and then they start to get a little more money, and you can see their life kind of change and get bigger, and more money starts to come in, and then they get another car, and then the size of their house gets bigger, and then the pool goes in. And then everything changes. And then you're still, you know, expected to pay all this money, but now your income changes. And then that's part of the salon business. That happens. And that's so scary to me that I couldn't even do it. You know, I have just a few people that work for me. They pay rent. They're happy. You know, there's nothing that I could really do to change them, change their happiness. You know, every once in a while we'll have, you know, towel conversation. I don't know. You know, there's always little things. But for the most part, we're all happy. There was a salon up the street from me that a group of girls, you know, didn't like the way the owner was treating them or wasn't, I mean, whatever it is. It's always something. And they got a group together and they left and they did it. They're like, ha ha, we're leaving. Good luck. And they opened a new salon and it was called Karma, which is karma, really. And they just closed. They closed down. I don't know the exact details, but if you're going to start a business trying to incorporate karma into someone's life, I have a feeling karma's not too far around the corner waiting for you. And, you know, one of the first things that I learned when I got sober is, you know, don't burn bridges. You know, if you're going to move on, thank you, shake hands, I appreciate you, I appreciate everything you did for me, and because you never know when you're going to have to come back. I worked at, I had worked at a salon, and when I decided I wanted to open my new salon, I kind of quietly started doing it, and when the owner found out, she fired me. You know, it was all lovey-dovey. And then she found out I was opening another salon. And this, the atmosphere of the salon that I was working at was so crazy because it was two owners. And they started, you know, one felt like one was making more money, you know, whatever it is. But this shit started. And I was like, this is crazy. And I started looking for a place for myself to work. And when she found out, she fired me. And I, you know, didn't know what I was going to do. I had no place to work. But I had so many friends in this business at other salons, and another lady, Kay, over at another hair salon, said, here, here's a key. Come work here until you're ready, until you get your place open, and just split everything 50-50 with me. And I was like, absolutely. And that's what I did. You know, I had a lot of bridges that were unburned in this part of my life today. And I mean, I do another podcast, the Rebel Social Podcast, and I've probably done 200 of those, almost 200 podcasts, and I'd probably say 150 of those people were my friends because of being sober. And, you know, whenever something comes up, or in the past, I'd have been like, fuck that, fuck him, fuck her, I don't give a shit. Today, I'm like, you know, what part of my, did I play in this problem? Let's have a conversation about it. I want to get my side of the street clean, and so I can go to sleep tonight with a clear conscience. And I practice that every day. And I don't know if that's fear of people. Maybe in the past, where I would have been like, forget them. Today, I'm like, I'm not afraid of people. Jesus Christ. Excuse me. I'm not afraid of people. And when I've made a mistake, I'll say, listen, I made a mistake. I apologize. And, you know, I want to get this cleaned up. And that's the life I live today. And now, you know, if anybody that I know has a problem, they always know that if they need any help from anything, you know, I'll always be there, you know, put all that dumb shit behind us. Yeah, so anyway, it's a big day today. We're going, my son is going to be turning 15 and he needs a job. And so we need to get him a work permit. A lot of weird emotions that are going along with that. You know, I'm like, you know, you need to make sure you show up on time. You know, I'm starting to tell him how to live. And, you know, what's too much? How do I let him learn on his own? I've always said, if someone came up to me and said, this is what you're supposed to do, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and then if you do all these things right, your life will be great, I would have never listened. I had to kind of experience it. I just don't want him to create a bad reputation for himself.
What is it?
Oh. Some weird beeping going on outside. You know, I don't want him to create a bad reputation for himself learning what to do and what not to do in a small town. But we're going to get him a work permit. Hopefully we'll get him a job. And, yeah, got all the kids with me today. Sam's here hanging out with me in the studio. Like I said, we're putting a website together. If anybody's interested in the podcast that we do, I think you can go to the Rehoboth Social Podcast Network. Google it. Our website's going to be coming up. It's going to have all of our podcasts. We're doing 6 podcasts right now. If you have any interest in listening to any of them, check them out. I think you can shoot us a message on there. And, yeah, so I hope everyone's having a great day. I think that I'm going to have to cut this a little bit short. Got things to do, but, you know, don't drink. Hang in there. You know, it's been a lot of years since I've had a drink, and I'm still crazy as fuck. And I'm working on it. And that's what this podcast is about. After you put down the drink. Hope everyone has a great day. Peace. Making me live like you.